Heavenly Father, this morning, as we open your words, as we hear your voice speaking to us, may it challenge us and push us, open our hearts and our minds so that we can be more and more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. This last Wednesday, after putting my kids to bed, I went out to the kitchen and opened my computer and did the one thing that no one likes to do at this time of year, taxes. Have you done yours yet? Oh, okay, we got some work to do, don't we? April's coming. And started working on them. Now, I've done taxes since I was 18, and I remember that year very specifically. This is how old I am. That first year, my mom and I went to the public library, and we went inside and got the little paper tax booklet. Do you know the one I'm talking about? Like three of you know what I'm talking about? And we took the booklet and we opened it up, and I don't even remember where we got the numbers, but we entered all the numbers in, and then we literally filed this report in the hands of somebody else. It was like you were voting. You had to add ID and all this stuff, and you'd pass it in. Now I use TurboTax. Are there some TurboTaxers here this morning? Yes, many of you. See, I think it's the way to go. I've used accountants before, and that has not worked out well. But with TurboTax, at the top of the screen, there's a ticker, and it shows you if you're going to send money to the government or if you're going to get money from the government. And TurboTax has wised up because they were giving people anxiety with that ticker at the top. Because it used to be if you owed money, it was a bright red number and people would panic. And if you were getting money, it was a bright green number. Now, if you owe money, it's just a dull shade of gray. And it's still green if you get money back. And as I'm there, I enter in Jen's information from her W-2, from her dental hygiene job, and then I work on my W-2 and I'm entering my information. Now, I knew that our W-2 was incorrect on mine for a various reason, and so I had to revise it as I'm entering in the numbers. And as I'm putting the numbers in, like a slot machine with your money flying away, that ticker at the top went from green and it spun backwards to that dull shade of gray to the tune of $4,000. Now, I know for some of you, $4,000 is a drop in the bucket. But for me, $4,000 is a nice used bass boat. You know what I mean? When I'm seeing that money tick away, I'm thinking, there goes my bass boat. Out the window, $4,000. And I kind of gasped when I saw that. And Jen was sitting on the couch and she said, "Everything okay, Matt? Do I need to come help?" And I just kept working those numbers. Where did I go wrong? What did I do? I adjusted some of the numbers because I must have made a mistake. And I watched that ticker go continue that way. More negative, $11,000 we were giving back to the government. That's almost three nicely used bass boats. Guys, what's happening here? And at this point, I just called for reinforcements. And I said, "Jen, I need your help." And so she came over and we started from scratch. Deleted those and started all over again. And at the end of the day, we went from negative $11,000 to simply owing the government $648. Now, it's always my goal to end up with zero giving back to the government and zero the government giving back to me because I want my money all year long to use it to get interest in whatever it is. But coming from $11,000 negative to $648 negative felt like the greatest gift that the government ever gave me. I was so thankful. They gave me back my money, so I had to give them only $648. It's funny how it changes the perspective a little bit when it's $11,000 to $648. You know, sometimes the greatest gifts that someone gives you are really gifts that you're supposed to give to somebody else anyway. The greatest gifts that are given to you sometimes are really meant to be given to somebody else. And when it comes to this great adventure of being a disciple, God gives us gifts that I believe are to be given away as well. If you've got your Bible, I invite you to open it to Romans chapter 12, where we read Paul's words. And if you didn't bring a Bible with you, there's a pew Bible that you can follow along on page 803. I'll give you some context while you're turning there. So Paul is talking to the church. That's people that are Christians that know Jesus and have accepted him as their Savior. And he's talking to them about moving forward together and as one. In fact, he uses that verse, you know, it's Romans 12:2 that says, Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus. He says, don't be the person that the world wants you to be. Instead, be the person that God has designed and called you to be. And he moves into this passage about unity in verse 3. Here's what he says. Romans 12, verse 3. Here's what my Bible says. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, Forest Lake Church, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We pause there for a minute because Paul gives some heavy words. He says, hey, 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 don't think of yourself better than you are. You're not that great. Just calm down. He says, hey, have that selfless heart that Jesus has and think of others first. Don't put yourself up on the pedestal like you're the best of the best. Then he says, hey, the church is one body, but lots of different parts, many different jobs, many different roles, but one single purpose. Working together as one. It's kind of like jump roping. Are there any jump ropers in here? A couple of you? Oh, this is perfect. All right, well, for this next part of the message, I'm gonna need three volunteers. And Tim, because you raised your hand, would you be willing to volunteer? All right, could I get some other volunteers? Yes, come on up, okay. And I need one more. Yes, ma'am. Oh, sorry, dude, we got three. All right, come on up here. Now, I went to Home Depot yesterday, and I bought some of the finest rope that they had. It's about an inch thick. It's nice stuff here. Come on up. Don't be scared. Oh, yeah, come on. We're coming to this side so we don't hook anything. Hey, man. Thanks for volunteering. I suckered you into that one, didn't I? Yeah, yeah. Come on up. You're good. Come on. Okay, so I'm going to put you in the middle so that if the rope hits, it'll, you know. Come on, right here, right here. Stand close together. You're going to want to be close. Okay, all right. So here's how this works. Are you standing right? Okay, so here's the rope. Now here's the thing. You may only use this arm, not both, and you can't say anything. You may only use this arm, and you can't say anything. You may use no arms, and all you can do is say things. Okay, and duck, yes. Okay, so that's for you. And let's go this way, let's see what we got. All right. Now this rope is very long, so I don't think we're gonna need all of it. In fact, maybe we should shift some of it this way. All right, Mr. Putt, I'm putting you in charge because you can use your mouth. But the goal is that all three of you will jump the rope. Okay, are you with me? Yes. You're not jumping him, all of you are jumping. Do you think they can do it, church family? Oh, that's like 50%, guys. I would suggest moving closer together, just saying. No, that doesn't work. No. It's got to go around, yes. I feel like Tim's using more hands than he's allowed to here. Yep, uh-huh. Oh, it's close. Let's try again. Let's go again. We can do this, guys. Oh, wait, we're twisted. Yay! Wonderful job. Thank you, guys. Thank you, thank you. You may have a seat. Do you need some rope? He's a pathfinder. He'll be practicing knots while we preach here. Everybody's got a role, and it only really works if we're all work together. I mean, that's what Paul says, and I think that's why he goes on to this next part of the passage. It's in Romans 12, verse 6. He says this. He says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Paul says, hey, everybody's got a gift. The only way we work is if we can do it together. and everyone has a specific gift, and my gift is not the same as your gift. In fact, he gives us this list: prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, and leading. If you go to 1 Corinthians 12 or Ephesians chapter 4, you get the rest of the list: administration and knowledge and wisdom and discernment and exhortation and giving and hospitality and faith. It's a solid list. There's something for everybody in here. And what I find annoying is that some people are so much better at certain things than I am. They're just better at it. They do it better. It's annoying to me, but that's the beauty of a group working together with the same purpose and the same vision to accomplish the same vision. Together only works together. Because you can't do what I can do, and because I can't do what you do, we do it together. It's like this. Everybody's got different gifts. In my house, I have a sixth grader and I have a fourth grader. And the lines are drawn very clearly with which parent helps them with homework, depending on the subject. If it's language arts, I got you. If it's social studies, science, I probably can handle those as well. If it's math, I'm not your guy. Are there any non-mathers in here? Yes, your math doesn't work like my math doesn't work either. Like, it's just broken. I don't know why. I just can't do math. It's terrible. And you're probably the same parent as me, that when your kid brings math homework and they ask you to help, you basically go straight to Google or you download. I've downloaded these apps, the Math for the Complete Idiot apps. I have those, yes. I've asked Siri for help. ChatGPT helps me sometimes. But here's the reality. When my kids come to ask me for math, I say, I can't help you beyond second grade math. That's my level there. And if you need help, then go to your mom. Because my wife is a mather. I don't know how she remembers elementary school math. I don't know how she can sit down with a piece of paper and a pencil and she just knows what to do. Just long division, I got you. Fractions, I got it. And when my kids come and talk to me and ask me for math, I say, just wait for your mom to come home, because that's not my spiritual gift, boys. And Paul shares that how this body joined together, these believers together on one mission and one purpose, are only successful if all the talents of the people are used together to push the church forward. Everybody's got one. In fact, one of my favorite Bible studies that I do with young and old is spiritual gifts. And we spend time together going through a spiritual gift assessment, a test. Maybe some of you have taken one of those before. And we spend time going through it, and it helps identify the gifts that God has already put in your life. He's already created you for this specific purpose. And it's so much fun to watch the light bulb come on in their mind as they say, God really gave that to me? God has that purpose for me? That's why he's gifted me in this way? And after we've identified those gifts, we say, how can you use that in the local church to push the mission forward? Now, because I don't want anyone to be left out, I've got one for you this morning. And if you want to take one, this is a very simple one. In fact, I did it yesterday and it took me all of 3 minutes. It's 66 questions. You can just scan that QR code with your phone. You can even do it right here. I wouldn't even care. But it may help you identify those spiritual gifts that God has placed in your heart. I wonder if you'll be surprised. And you know what? It's really awesome to watch people find their groove with spiritual gifts. It's almost like finding a calling. Because when they find that gift coupled with the power of God, their life becomes so much more powerful. It's like putting a golf club in the hands of Tiger Woods. It's like putting a paintbrush in the hands of Bob Ross. Do we know Bob Ross? Some happy little trees today, right? It's like putting a mic in Ariana Grande's hand. They're just built differently. And when you find that spiritual gift and God's power is put on your life and you use that gift, you become unstoppable. And if you don't want to take this quiz, totally fine. It's even easier than that. Just ask your questions like this. What am I passionate about? What am I good at? What do I really enjoy doing? Do you like being up front and in front of people and leading? Do you like to be behind the scenes? Are you a detail-oriented person? Are you a big picture person? What gifts has God given you? And more importantly, how are you using them to push the mission forward? Being on the great adventure of discipleship with Jesus. It's all about how your life will change because you've spent time with him. And if it's not changing, then you're not doing it right. But I believe that one of those building blocks of discipleship on this great adventure is this heart change of selflessness that says, God, use me however you want. In fact, use me for the gifts you've given me and let me make an impact for you. Jesus, he's hanging out with his disciples. And like a soccer mom that goes and pesters the coach, the mother of James and John, she comes up to Jesus. And she says, hey, Jesus, you know my boys, James and John. I'm real proud of them. They're your boys too, you know. And you keep talking about this kingdom of heaven that you're building. And how do you feel about my boys, your boys, sitting on the left side and the right side of your throne? You know, the power spots. How do you feel about that? And I know in Jesus' mind, he wanted to roll his eyes so hard that he'd get whiplash. But instead, he responds with his heart, which is the same heart as Jesus' followers and disciples. He says these words in Matthew chapter 20. He says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He says, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. Jesus didn't leave heaven to come to earth to be pampered and worshiped and sit on his throne while all his loyal subjects served him. Instead, he came to become a servant, to be the lowest of the low, so that he can serve others. Then the very next chapter, after Jesus tells James and John's mom that he came to serve, Jesus is with the disciples. They're leaving Jericho, and as they go out the gate there, there's two blind dudes that are sitting on the side of the road. They hear the crowd, the commotion that's coming through, and they must know it's Jesus because they say, Jesus, Son of David, we need you. And the whole crowd says, shh, he's too busy for you. Be quiet, you can't even see him. The whole crowd is pushing through, and there's only one person that stops, and it's Jesus. Because he understands that he doesn't want to be lifted up on a throne. He already is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What he came to do is to serve others. And so he stops and he goes over and he kneels down and he looks these blind guys in the eyes and they can't even see him. And he pauses. The Bible says with compassion, he heals them. Because he understands his purpose is to come and serve. He took that God-given power in him and he gave it on to somebody else. And if I'm being honest, I believe that if we aren't using those God-given gifts and the power that he's given us, then we are maybe the most ungrateful people on the planet that don't use the greatest gift from the greatest gift giver of all time. Disciples are called to serve and to use their gifts to reach others for Jesus, period. It's part of being on the great adventure. So what do you do with your gift? And how do you use it? And where do you find a place to serve? You know, I've thought a lot about a way for you to capture this and to be a part of something. And what we already have is built on our website. And I'll put it up on the screen. You'll want to jot this down in your brain. Maybe you'll think about it more this week or you take a picture of it or write it down. Because it's not a page that you can find just by scrolling our web. It's hidden. So forestlake.church/serve. And when you get there, if you go there, you'll see a video with Pastor Julie as she's talking to one of our elders, Olga Melnick, who, as she gives her testimony of service. You'll see a list of a bunch of different ministries in our church and where you can plug in. And then if you click sign up here, it'll give you a drop-down list of a ton of different areas where we always need people to serve, to use your gift to plug in and serve and make a difference. I mean, there's a ton on there, and you can choose any one you want. I mean, there's some that I always think we need help with, like greeters. Man, I wish we had 25 greeters in the lobby every single Sabbath, smiling, welcoming people, showing that this church is the friendliest church in town. We need more. How about this one? This is a good one. Children's storytellers. It's hard to find people that want to tell children's story, but I think that's one of the most valuable parts of our worship service. Maybe you have a story that you want to tell. Here's a good one. The choir. Maybe you can sing. If you can't sing, I got stuff for you too. Like parking lot attendants. Have you ever noticed that most Sabbaths, right after I pray and walk down the center aisle, you'll see three or four guys pop up and leave, and you might think, oh, What's wrong with them? They're disgruntled. Why, where are they headed? They're headed out to put cones out and direct traffic so people can get off the campus safely. They found a role that's kind of behind the scenes. If you like to be behind the scenes, here's another one. Audio-visual. You don't even have to be techie. If you can, like, listen, my oldest son, Caffrey, he was like, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old, and he started running a camera up there or pushing buttons or making a mess of things. I don't know. It's fine. We'll work you in somewhere, right? Or here's one. If I wasn't busy doing other things, here's the one I would do. Golf cart driver. If you've got a driver's license, then you can do it until you wreck something, and then you can't do it anymore. Here's one. How about serving at Gift and Thrift? It's one of the coolest ministries of our church. We always need people to serve down there. And if you don't see a spot on that drop-down list of places you want to serve, then at the bottom there's a place for other. Come up with an idea. Come up with something that you think would be powerful. What's the gift that God's given you that you can use for something else to glorify him? And here's another way, and some people may say, Pastor Matt, you're asking for a ton of emails. Fine, bring them on. It's this. Maybe you look at Forest Lake Church, the ministry, the mission, the interactions, how things happen, and you say, this can be done better, and I have a gift to make it better. Send me an email. Let's talk. Maybe God's gifted you with a way to make this church the best it can be. You know, I think Jesus' words, as he tells a parable about using talents and gifts for his glory, I think his words are the best. He says these words to you and me this morning as you use your gifts to glorify him. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Now enter into the joy of your master. May you take the God-given gifts that he's given you and give them away to others as you serve him on this journey called the Great Adventure. Let me pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, God, it's humbling to know that you've gifted each and every one of us for a certain purpose and calling. And may you push us, challenge us, help us to find that space where we can really serve you in the best possible way. God, we love you so much, and we can't wait to see you. In Jesus' name.